"We shall prove our worth anon," said Arcibald, picking up a huge knife like a barbarian warlord called to single combat. "This stove, your produce, your cuts of meat, all strange to us." And then, as if to say, "Speaking of strange," Arcibald and I both glanced over at a heavy stew pot, which had been pushed to the back of the stove in hopes that the vapors belching out of it would stink less if they came from farther away. Sewer Triss was nudging coals around and darting bits of wood into the firebox as if it were brain surgery. We had made fun of her for this until our efforts to manage it ourselves had produced the kinds of outcomes normally associated with strategic nuclear warfare. Now we watched contritely. "Kind of weird for Madam Secretary to open by saying the messel's a drain trap for losers," I said.
"Oh, I disagree.
She's good," Triss exclaimed. "She's trying to motivate them." Triss was podgy and not especially good-looking, but she had the personality of a beautiful girl because she'd been raised in a math. "I wonder how that's going to work on my Doyne," I said. "He'd like nothing more than to see this canceled so he can go dine with cool people." A bell jingled. We turned to look around. 7 bells were mounted to the wall above the 7 rope ends. Each was connected by a long ribbon routed through the wall and under the floor to the underside of the table in the messaline, where it terminated in a velvet pull. A Doyne could summon his servitor, silently and invisibly, by yanking on the pull. The bell rang once, paused, then began to jangle non-stop, more and more violently until it looked like it was about to jump off the wall. It was labeled Fra Lodegear. I returned to the messaline, walked around behind him, and bent forward.
"Get rid of this Edharian gruel," he breathed. "It is perfectly unpalatable."
"You should see what the Matterites are cooking up," I muttered. Fra Lodegear glanced across the table at an avout, one of those who had celebrated Inbrace with me earlier in the day, whose face was covered by his or her bolt. The fabric had been drawn sideways over his or her head, as if to form a hood, but the hood had then been pulled down to cover the face, with an opening below through which food, if that was the correct word for what the Matterites put into their mouths during meals, could be introduced.
"I'll have what it's having," Lodegear hissed, "but not this."
I glanced significantly at Fra Jad, who was shoveling the stuff into his mouth, then confiscated Lodegear's serving and whisked it out of there, happy to have an excuse to go back to the kitchen.
"Perfectly unpalatable," I repeated,
heaving it into the compost.
"Perhaps we should slip him some Allswell,"
Arcibald suggested.
"Or something stronger," I returned.
But before we could develop this promising theme, the back door swung open and in walked a girl, swathed in a hectare of heavy, scratchy-looking black bolt, lashed to her body with 10 miles of cord. Her punched-in sphere was overflowing with mixed greens. Out of doors, she kept her head covered, but once she had set the greens down, she swept her bolt back to reveal her perfectly smooth dome, all dotted with perspiration since it was a warm day and she was overdressed. Arcibald and I did not feel as easy around Sewer Carval as we did around Triss, so all banter stopped.
"That's a lovely selection of greens," Triss began.
But Carval flinched and held up a bony, translucent hand, gesturing for silence. Fra Lodegear had begun speaking. I reckon that was why he had wanted his gruel cleared away.
"Plurality of worlds," he began,
and let it resonate for a long moment.
"Sounds impressive. I haven't the faintest idea what it means to some here. The mere fact of the geometer's existence proves that there is at least one other world, and so on one level it is quite trivial. But since it appears that I am the token Prokian of this messel, I shall play my role and say this. We have nothing in common with the geometers. No shared experiences, no common culture. Until that changes, we can't communicate with them." "Why not?" "Because language is nothing more than a stream of symbols that are perfectly meaningless until we associate them, in our minds, with meaning, a process of acculturation. Until we share experiences with the geometers and thereby begin to develop a shared culture, in effect to merge our culture with theirs, we cannot communicate with them, and their efforts to communicate with us will continue to be just as incomprehensible as the gestures they've made so far. Throwing the Warden of Heaven out the airlock, dropping a fresh murder victim into a cult site, and rotting a volcano.
As soon as he paused, reactions came through on the speakers, several people talking over each other.
I don't agree that those are incomprehensible.
But they must have been watching our spielies.
You're missing the point of the plurality of worlds,